Creating great content takes time and effort, and this podcast could not exist in the long run without great partners. This season's sponsor is Catalog. Catalog is a work hub we use every day at Modern Leaders, and I also personally recommend it to my network. It's basically your own digital headquarters, helping you and your team making high-quality decisions quickly and asynchronously, reducing the number of meetings and eliminating the chaos of modern-day work. Whether you're the COO, a product manager, or a marketing executive in a remote or hybrid team, you can find what you need, see who's working on what, and get updates on where things are at without the endless streams of emails and pings coming from everywhere. It's all in Catalog in context. Sign up now at catalogwithaq.com. That's QATALOG.com for a free 30-day trial for you and your team. Welcome to the Remote First podcast produced by Modern Leaders. Every other Tuesday, listen in to hear from large or innovative companies enabling an equitable and distributed workplace experience. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Remote First podcast. Today, we are having another Startup for Remote Work series, and I am with Sami Bourmoum, CEO of Offi. Offi is building the next generation platform for democratizing employee experience wherever you are hiring. Welcome to the show, Sami.
Oh, thank you, Daphne. Excited to be joining you. Thanks for having me.
Me too. I've been wanting to have you on a podcast for a long time. We've been like talking for some months and like discussing and discovering the what you were doing. And it was really interesting to discover Offi and then also see the company grow so much in the past, just in the past month. So it's really nice to have you now in the middle of all the business you're going through.
Yeah, it's there's not been much sleep over the last few months. So loads of caffeine and, you know, Red Bull and coffees twice a day.
Yeah, plus mixing that with like work-life balance, family and everything. It must have been quite a lot. And it's the joy of entrepreneurship and parenthood mixed together.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I love it.
That's great. I would love for you to explain a bit to the audience, you know, what is Offi just from the ground up? Like, what is it? Tell me about it.
Yeah. So Offi is a platform that enables you to equip employees from a physical perspective anywhere in the world. And the way to think about it, there's two aspects to it. There is the aspect for the businesses, which is a SaaS platform that integrates into your HR stack. So we integrate with the, you know, Bamboos and all the HRISs of the world. And the idea there is that the process of onboarding someone from a physical perspective, i.e. getting them a laptop, a mouse, a keyboard, a desk, a chair, whatever it may be, should be as simple as adding them to Slack. It should really take 10 seconds. There's no reason why it should take several hours. So we've automated that process. And for the employee, the experience of having a first day at home should be as good as having that first day in the office. So we basically can help with, you know, branding, welcome packs and all that kind of stuff so that the first day is truly memorable and then everything is seamlessly connected. And we offer the same level of coverage no matter where you are in the world. So, you know, we're not the biggest company in the world. It's only 40 people, but we've already onboarded employees in over 63 countries.
Wow. So it must be quite a lot of logistics to, you know, send over, you know, all the material that is needed for an employee that is on the other side of the world. Like, how does it work when you're using the platform to do that?
Yeah, so we try not to send things because A, it's slow, B, it's expensive, but also most importantly, it's not nice to the polar bears if we're moving things all around the world in planes. So as much as possible, we try to source locally. And what we have is this, you know, vast network of suppliers with a very narrow set of products. I mean, it's still, you can get anything you want, but it's about 200 products that we find is the intersection of what most businesses need. And then we go through the painful process of finding suppliers in every country and, you know, pre-buying stock, making that available so that if you need a MacBook in Brazil or in Nigeria, we can actually get it to you in a few days because we either already have stock in those countries or we know where we can get it.
Oh, that's really nice. And I mean, how do you think, so if I want to create a home office for all of my employees and my team, for example, how can I make sure that, you know, the office that I'm going to create for them or the work setup is going to represent my brand in a way? You know how people used to go to the office and everything is designed to represent the brand of the company, and you get inside the office, and you have clients coming to the office.
they're seeing your brand everywhere in the colors and the experience. But like, how does that look like if you are behind a screen? Like, we've seen everyone's background and kitchen and everything. Like, how can they make it so that the background that people see is actually recreating the brand a bit more? Do you have any things in mind?
It's a good question, but I would almost challenge the need for, you know, the home, the actual equipment to represent the brand. Because when people are at home, you kind of give them the ability to be creative and to design the workspace that they want, you know. And some people prefer something which is, you know, more classic, you know, dark wood furnitures with, you know, leather upholstery. Others may prefer, you know, more minimalistic stuff. You know, it could be white marble and, you know, cream leathers and so on. So I think when you think about home offices, there are a couple of things that matter. The first is, you know, ergonomics and like comfort, right? So people, when you design an office, you think about comfort in an office building in the traditional sense. And if someone's going to be sitting at their desk for 8 to 12 hours, you know, that's kind of the main thing, that they need to feel comfortable. And comfortable can mean, yeah, obviously the ergonomics of comfortable, but they also need to, it needs to be an environment that they want to sit in and then work, right? So I think that's kind of one thing. The second is, as much as possible, it should fit within their household, right? You know, imagine someone lives in a, you know, classic decorated house. You don't really want to be putting glass tables and, you know, plastic, acrylic, transparent chairs. It's kind of going to be out of place. And one of the things that we enable companies to do is to offer flexibility while offering control, right? So something that companies don't want to pay for is for things that don't meet health and safety requirements, but they probably want to give some choice as well. So I think on the actual equipment, you should, on the IT, I don't think that drives culture. I think that's kind of, is it functional? Does it lead to productivity? On the furniture, it's about ergonomics. And then I think the way that you actually can drive that brand is kind of more on the periphery of the home office equipment. And it can be with, you know, is there a welcome pack? What's the box going to look like? Are you going to put in a little gift? Maybe we had one customer who wanted to send a live cactus to every employee as kind of that little thing. But other than that, you can fix it with the background.
So you can buy cactuses on Huffy or like?
Really not is the answer. But really not is the answer. But, you know, customer satisfaction is at the core that we do. And if a customer really wants a cactus, we will sort out the cactus. It's kind of the point, right? Especially if they're in one country. If you want a cactus in Burkina Faso, that might be a little bit more challenging, right?
Okay. Because you're sourcing locally.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, interesting. So in the end, there's a lot of control from the employee because they have access to the platform. They can choose which tools and equipment that they want within a certain frame of furniture that are pre-approved by the team. Mm-hmm. And then it's being sent to them directly and it's all sourced locally. And this is how basically the basic business model of how Huffy works.
Exactly. And I think at the end of the day, to me, what's really exciting about flexible working is I don't think one size fits all, right? So I'm not suggesting by any stretch of the imagination that people should work 5 days a week from home. You know, I do that most days just because, you know, I've got a young child and it's convenient and that's what I like to do. But we've got team members that go 5 times a week to the office and, you know, we're not anti-office by any means. Mm. The one thing that I have a fairly strong opinion on is that saving money on equipment for your employees is a false economy. And what I mean by that is the fully loaded cost and the opportunity cost on productivity of an FTE is so big that, you know, spending an extra $1,000 or $2,000 on a really nice setup, that's going to make them more productive, more happy, you know, more retention, less back issues. It's totally worth it, right? So this is like really, as an undergrad, but one of the senior employees that joined our team, I mean, we're like, you know, a Series A company, so we're not, you know, a monster by any stretch of the imagination, but he worked for several unicorns and he says, hey, the benefits and the equipment that you guys give me is really good. So in particular, he always wanted this ThinkPad Carbon laptops for like a very, very long time. And his last two employers didn't give him one. It's like, and they were much bigger than we were. And he got exactly what he wanted from us. And I'm like, well, yeah, I just want you to be productive and I want you to be happy with what you've got. And relative to the cost of your salary, an extra £500 on a laptop is nothing.
Right. But it's like, I think it was Rodolphe that was saying this from Remotive, that say people spend $2,000 on a laptop, but then like $20 on a chair. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think is that people's money, they should spend money how they want it. I think businesses, I would say, yes. I mean, if you're an individual, you should spend your money how you want. If you want to spend £500 on a pair of AirPod Pros, Max, whatever you call the big AirPods, and 100 on a chair, then so be it. But if you're the employer, you know, you've got a duty of guiding your employees towards something where they're going to be comfortable, especially because in most of Europe, employers are legally responsible for the health and safety of their employees at home.
Exactly. That was my next question. I was like, well, they also need to make sure that their employees are having a good setup, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why just giving someone a 500 euro allowance doesn't solve the problem, because you don't know what they're going to use that allowance. And they may have the best intention in the world, right? And they may buy something that is not going to help them, you know, be comfortable, and thereby de-risking the company. So you could be spending money as a business on things that don't move the needle.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it must have been quite a challenge to have to think as well of all the regulation that are bringing in the governments in Europe, for example. Like, how do you tackle this when a client comes in and they're just like, okay, we need a new setup and it needs to follow this regulation? Like, are you also providing insights around like what needs to be looked at?
Yeah, so we don't do it at the client level, we do it at the country level. Every time we add a country to the platform, we perform an audit of the health and safety guidelines in that country. And here's two very anecdotal examples, but just goes to show, you know, how detail-oriented these things can be. Like in the UK, a monitor needs to move up and down above the base and needs to pivot in the direction, you know, so to alter the angle compared to the face of the person using the monitor. But in the European countries, it also needs to be able to pivot sideways about the base without the base moving. You know, so we basically take a conservative approach and we just have monitors on our platform that meet this highest level of adjustment so that it will tick all these boxes. And it often happens that our customers will come and say, hey, I want this specific monitor. Why don't you have that? I'm like, well, it doesn't meet the regulations in these 17 countries. And we want to have a consolidated offering across countries. Mm-hmm. Another one is fire rules, right? So whenever you have a chair, if it's upholstered, it needs to meet domestic furniture rules. And in some countries, the fire rules are different in the home than in the office. So the types of fabrics, the fireproofing, and the types of foams used in the chairs need to be altered. You cannot take an office chair and just put it in the home, because technically you're not meeting fire regs.
Wow. I mean, you know much more. You know, it's exactly why you would hire a company like yours. You know so much more about all the different details like this that, I mean, I would never think about all this.
Well, the fire regs are so annoying. The fire regs are so annoying.
It's actually just an annoyance.
It is an annoyance. I mean, we've solved it, right? But it basically means that in some countries, we need to ask manufacturers to use a different foam and put a different type of fabric in order to meet the fire regulations in those countries. And right, the chair aesthetically looks exactly the same, but it's not the same.
What are your favorites? Like, if you were to say, okay, so we want, people are always, I mean, I myself want to build my dream home office setup. Like, okay, what would be your suggestion if you were to say, like, this is what I would highly recommend if I was to build like my best setup that I'm most excited about?
So I think it really depends. I think a good example to think about here is, do you generally prefer more about form or function? Because I think you kind of need to set, you know, the things like, am I going to optimize for how it looks and how it feels? Or am I going to optimize for how my back is going to feel?
Look and feel, because I, for example, like I have back issues.
Yeah.
And I think ergonomic looks so bad. I feel like I would not want to have this at home. So I would like to have both.
A lot of ergonomic looks quite bad. Not all of it does. I think, you know, if it's look and feel, you know, It depends on the budget. I could speak for hundreds of hours about this, but I personally don't have any back problems and I like sitting in a reclined position, you know, so okay. I'm kind of like, you know, the sloucher on the chair. So for me, something like, you know, a human scale chair or a Vitra chair, which is what I'm sitting on right now, it really fits my type of sitting, right? Now there's like, for example, my wife, she's a very upright sitter, right? So she likes to have really good posture. So she sits with her back really straight and those are not the right chairs for her, right? So for mm-hmm. her, like something like a Hug or a RH are a much better chair for her.
I mean, the Hug
and
is
she's basically got a Hug next door in pink as well, which is great. And then on the desks, my desk suppliers are going to kill me for this, but they're fairly undifferentiated, right? There is, on the electric sit stands, yes, there's a how easy it is to install, but really it's very much a design thing.
Hey everyone, I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt, founder of Modern Leaders, a consulting collective enabling you to walk the talk and scale your company for the remote first future. Our team comes from over a decade of distributed team leadership experience, where we work with organizations from 25 to 5,000 employees. And I am so excited to have put together this podcast to share with you everything that we've been learning over the years. This is the Remote First Podcast.
And then the things that I always say invest a lot of money on is, and we always over-index into this, even within Hoffi, is stuff like is monitor, mouse, keyboard, and webcam. And headset. Those five things are what I call an essential home office, right? Because your internet connection, your webcam, and your microphone / headset is the interface of you as a person to your colleagues and you as a business to your customers, your investors. And, you know, you would pay $500,000 a month for a office rental, right? So to have a nice office when you bring in a customer, but you're not spending 500 quid on a good video conferencing setup. So I think that's kind of important. Mm-hmm. And a big monitor really takes away a lot of strain and fatigue out of the day, right? So I think, you know, spending less than 400-500 euros on a monitor, to me, unless it's for occasional use, is not wise. I'm sitting in front of a 1500 euro monitor right now. It's 40 inches wide and like it costs as much as my laptop. I'm sitting so far that it's almost like it's over an arm's length, but I can still read everything, right? So I don't get any eye fatigue. Whereas when I'm traveling and I'm working on my laptop after 3-4 hours, I'm like, my eyes are so focused on this 13-14-inch screen and it's annoying. It's not good.
Yeah, I mean, just circling back to what you were saying about the camera, you know, now we're seeing just with the past 2 years, so much more demand on high quality camera. Like yeah. Now, like people are just like the Logitech Brio is just like the minimum that you should be using.
Yeah, that's what I have. That's what I have. Yeah. But, I mean, the manufacturers are responding. You know, Apple has finally put in a 1080p camera in their devices. It used to be 720p. Mm-hmm. And so has Dell and Lenovo, I believe, in the latest generations. It's still not good enough, but it's better.
I'm really hoping because the camera that they use on the iPhone, the back camera, is a super high quality one that I'm using for my own calls where I will use my phone as my webcam mostly because I'm on the road a lot. And this quality is even higher than the Logitech Brio.
It is.
And it actually feels like a DSLR. But why couldn't we have this on a MacBook Pro? You know, like in the end, like the technology is there. I feel like maybe because of the past 2 years and what we've seen in the evolution of having people working from the office and people from the office from home and realizing that they are really needing to have the high quality camera to stand out, to be professional in some way, to look professional online. I feel like maybe we'll start seeing that. And then having a webcam is going to really become much more obsolete in some way, which it was before.
I mean, you think that there is actually a reason why the cameras on laptops aren't that good. And it has to be with the obsession for thinness and very small bezels, right? So, you know, in just the iPhone that you showed me, there's a hump on the camera lens, right? And the new camera humps are getting bigger and bigger. And that's because the depth and the height of the cameras are actually quite big, so they wouldn't fit within a laptop. And no one wants the laptop screens to basically become much thicker. But maybe we'll see humps on the lids of cameras. There's definitely room for improvement. I think it does come at the sacrifice of thin bezels. And it will be interesting to see which way the laptop manufacturers go in terms of prioritizing form over function when it comes to the camera.
Yeah. And in general, so like from what you know of the industry and like what is possible to make like an ultimate work space at home or, mm-hmm. you know, wherever you are, what is missing to you?
I think what's missing is education. It's really guidance to businesses on what they should be facilitating, because there's a difference between allowing and facilitating remote work. I think a lot of companies have great intentions, but there's a difference between, you know, passively allowing flexible working versus actively facilitating. And, you know, it's a new thing, and it will take a couple of years for, you know, companies to figure out exactly what works for them. And, you know, and we want to be at the forefront of that, right? So, you know, we don't consider ourselves an equipment supplier, right? We consider ourselves a people partner in a way, mm-hmm. right? So the value that you get from equipping someone with Hoffi is how it happens and how smoothly and how consistently and how good the experience is. The actual products you can buy on Amazon, right? It's the process. And the other thing is also going to be the budget, right? Especially if you think of the US startups, right? They have snacks in the office. And even if the average spend is $6 per employee per day on snacks, that's $200 a month on snacks. $200 a month gets you pretty far with a good home office setup.
And you don't have to pay for the snacks when they're at home.
And you don't have to pay. I mean, you can pay for the snacks if you want to, but, you know, but...
But just so funny, because I remember like speaking to someone who worked at a company that was just going hybrid like a few years ago before COVID. And the first, they were just experiencing remote work for a week. And then you were like, oh, it's so weird. Like, I have spent so much money. Like, I don't have access to my coffee anymore. I don't have my free food. You know, it's like this part of their budget. And now it's like, oh, I have to pay for my coffee now. Boo-hoo. But then I was just thinking, yeah, but then it's like your own coffee it's that you're true, making at though. Home. It's true, but I don't know. For me, the coffee I can make at home is so good that there will never be the office coffee.
Well, I was at Samsara before. And I think that there was a coffee baristas club, and they actually had a really good, you know, like a proper barista coffee machine, and you could learn how to use it. No, but to me, how much my food bill went up from when I left my job to I became an entrepreneur was just like mind-boggling. You know, because I eat a lot, right? So my average on snack consumption was probably not $6 per day. But yeah, it's really interesting. It is those things when you go hybrid, you don't realize. But yes, you may spend more on food, but you save so much time that you're not commuting into the office, right? And mm-hmm. you get to really plan your day like you want it. So, I mean, there's pros and cons for everything. And just for there's people for whom it just doesn't work at all, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be family situation. It could be the location of where they live, right? You could live right next to a train rail track, and it's not a good place to work from a
or
noise.
Or you live in a tiny studio, and then it's just not livable.
As a couple, and then if you've got two people having phone calls at the same time in a single room, it just doesn't work.
And in the past year, so, you know, in 2021, you know, the company grew, that, you know, since you founded a company, like, what are the main learnings that you had in the last year, 2021?
I think it's probably one that comes on the back of the explosion in demand for remote payroll companies. So, you know, the deals, Omnipresence, Oysters, Papaya's remotes of the world, right? And that's businesses are truly shifting in mindset when it comes to hiring, right? Businesses are no longer hiring talent where their headquarters are, but they're hiring talent where talent is. And that comes with a number of consequences. The first is that, yes, it's great because businesses have access to a lot more talent, great. But the flip side of that is talent has access to a lot more businesses. So the need to deliver a globally consistent employee experience is really, really big. And I suppose this is perhaps my opinion and one that is at least shared within the company, which is any businesses that are serving the employees of customers, of businesses, needs to be global by reach. And, you know, when we started in Jan 2021, we were only covering the UK. And in Feb, we were only covering Europe. And by March, we decided, you know, we had to do the US as well. And by April, we said it has to be a global business because people will really hire anywhere. And, you know, we've had customers who are hiring in Jamaica, in Nigeria, in India, in Ukraine, in Russia, in Ghana, right? And it is not okay to tell them, no, I'm actually not going to deliver the same level of experience to your employee in Ghana. It's just not okay. So global coverage is really, really important in this space, is my opinion.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And also, it's so exciting to see, you know, Huffy growing, also just the whole industry, as you say, global hiring growing. And just, I just can't wait to talk to you next year and see where the startup is going. I hope that, you know, you're going to be part of these unicorn that are growing, like what we've seen, like remote, like, you know, and everything. Well, thank you so much, Sammy, for joining the podcast today. People can reach out to you. Do you want to say anything for the end, if there is a way for reaching to you directly?
Yeah, I mean, it's info@hoffy.com, and that's it. It's very easy, and someone in the team will pick it up.
That's awesome. And anything, any blog post also, or anything we talked about, are going to be added to the show notes. Thank you so much, Sammy, for joining.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.